I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is November 23rd, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's show, Vox Dei Revisited. Well, it's been 2 years since we last examined the insanity of a toxic little wart who calls himself Vox Dei, which in Latin means voice of God. If you can stomach his blog, which is basically dedicated to inflating his ego like a balloon attached to an air compressor, you'll discover that when he chose that name, he wasn't kidding. If you go to theskepticarena.com, to the podcast archives, shows 169 through 173 featured some of his nonsense. Let's see what Vox has been up to lately. These are my replies to selected comments that he posted on his site between November 20th and November 22nd of 2013. He said, in a very long and powerful essay, Vox, let me translate that for the audience. I totally agree with this article. He continues, in a very long and powerful essay, John C. Wright explains that the strong female character is not only an offense against literature, but an intentional crime against civilization itself. Vox, which is exactly what a misogynistic, egomaniacal little twerp like you wants to hear, right? He wrote, and if any female character ever physically bests a bigger, stronger, faster male character without supernatural powers or technological enhancements, it's pink science fiction. Oh my, Vox, we are quite threatened by the female sex, aren't we? Let me guess. You got smart-assed to your mom in front of your friends when you were a kid, so she bitch-slapped your little ass and embarrassed the shit out of you. Did that hit a little too close to home, Vox? From another essay, he wrote, it encapsulates why Darwinism, even in its neo-synthesized form, is caught up in crisis and is being increasingly rejected as unconvincing pseudoscience by the secular and religious alike. Vox, one might think that with your often claimed superior IQ, you could detect when you are engaging in desperate wishful thinking. Obviously not. From another essay, he wrote, kindness is not weakness, but far too many people, women in particular, perceive it to be so. Vox, and how would a misogynistic, bald-headed little wimp like you know what most women think? You are scared shitless of them. It shows in nearly everything you write. You make Paul of Tarsus sound like a ladies' man. From another essay, Vox writes, it's really quite remarkable what lengths reasonably intelligent people will go to in order to hold on to their conceptual models while ignoring the obvious. Mr. Dei, you are an adult who still believes in invisible ghosts in the 21st century. Your statement is a perfect example of psychological projection as listed in the DSM, the Manual for Mental Disorders. He wrote, the debt has to be cleared from the system. There are two ways out, hyperinflation or debt default. The latter is the better, wiser, and safer choice. Vox, it's definitely better for the screw or, not so better for the screw e. If anyone had any questions about your character, Vox, I think you just answered them. From another essay, I'm a little surprised to have to so often remind grown men and women that sometimes people say things that are not true, and they say things that are not true on a regular basis. Yet you, Vox, never seem to realize how that applies to you, most of all. Now, from an essay where he is responding to someone asking for advice on studying Christianity. Vox advises, I would also recommend the very short, very simple, but intriguing, A Defense of the Revelation by Leonard Euler, who happens to be one of the most legendary mathematicians in history. Vox, Euler was a great mathematician, but his belief in spooks proves that math alone cannot grant one critical thinking skills in other areas. Vox wrote, Once you have a grasp of the theological basics, Vox, you mean basics like slavery, genocide, genital mutilation, animal and human sacrifice, and self-loathing? Vox continues, Once you have a grasp of the theological basics, you may be ready to read up on the actual history of Christianity. Hey Vox, you just gave me a great idea for a new feature. Tell me what you think of this one. David Barton, A Look Back at Christian History. I can't wait to get started, Vox. Don't worry, I'll notify you when it goes up on my site so you won't miss it. And no, there is still no commenting on my website. Your horde of batshit crazy loonies were furious 2 years ago when they came over hoping to leave their little bags of dog shit all over my site, but were turned away in frustration. And the ones who made the mistake of emailing me all got their asses handed to them in a teaspoon. One even begged to be removed from the email list. I complied because I don't bully those who have been beaten to a pulp and beg out. All the while, you remained dead silent under your rock, watching helplessly as I slaughtered your loyal followers. And Vox's final bit of advice, you may be ready to read up on the actual history of Christianity and some of its leading thinkers. Vox, are you joking? Christianity has thinkers? There's a word for Christians who develop the ability to think. They are called atheists. From another essay, Vox writes, It would appear that the jury packing was more successful on the second go-round, as C.J. Grisham was found guilty after only a single juror voted guilty the previous time. Vox, baby, I just did a podcast on that shit-for-brains Grisham. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I have a link to that show. By the way, Vox, both sides get to pick the jury. So what evidence are you offering to support your accusation of jury packing? Or is that just what you say when verdicts don't go the way you want? He wrote, If the police in Bell County think this inexcusably stupid verdict is going to give them carte blanche to seize weapons at will, well, expect a lot of dead police officers. Vox, now that's what I call consistency. When things don't go the way Christians want, their first natural reaction is always violence. It's been that way for 2,000 years. And as you just proved, it's still just as valid today. Thanks, Vox. Sometimes you people make my job way too easy. And Vox concludes by writing, Never forget that the police are total pussies. Vox, reopen that DSM and look up Oppositional Defiant Disorder. They should replace that section with your picture. I wonder if your problem with authority is linked to your mommy issues. Have you ever thought about going on the Dr. Phil show? Don't worry about your appearance. I'm sure they can fit you with a wig. Hey Vox, what I'm wondering is, are there any mental disorders that you don't have? And now we move to the science segment. Today, researchers show how the universe's violent youth seeded the cosmos with iron. By detecting an even distribution of iron throughout a massive galaxy cluster, astrophysicists can tell the 10 billion-year-old story of how exploding stars and black holes sowed the early cosmos with heavy elements. New evidence that iron is spread evenly between the galaxies in one of the largest galaxy clusters in the universe supports the theory that the universe underwent a turbulent and violent youth more than 10 billion years ago. That explosive period was responsible for seeding the cosmos with iron and other heavy elements that are critical to life itself. Researchers shed light on this important era by analyzing 84 sets of X-ray telescope observations. In particular, they looked at iron distribution throughout the Perseus Cluster, a large grouping of galaxies about 250 million light-years away. They saw that iron is spread out between the galaxies remarkably smoothly. That means it had to be present in the intergalactic gas before the Perseus Cluster formed. The even distribution of these elements supports the idea that they were created at least 10 to 12 billion years ago. During this time of intense star formation, billions of exploding stars created vast quantities of heavy elements in the chemical furnaces of their own destruction. This was also the epoch when black holes in the hearts of galaxies were at their most energetic. The combined energy of these cosmic phenomena must have been strong enough to expel most of the metals from the galaxies at early times and to enrich and mix the intergalactic gas. To settle the question of whether the heavy elements created by supernovae remain mostly in their home galaxies or are spread throughout the intergalactic space, researchers looked through the Perseus Cluster in 8 different directions. They focused on the hot 10 million degree gas that fills the spaces between galaxies and found the spectroscopic signature of iron reaching all the way to the cluster's edges. The researchers estimate that the amount of iron in the cluster is roughly equivalent to the mass of 50 billion suns. Researchers think that most of the iron came from a single type of supernovae called type 1A supernovae. In a type 1A supernova, the star explodes and releases all its material into the void. They believe that at least 40 billion type 1A supernovae must have exploded within a relatively short period on cosmological timescales in order to release that much iron and have the force to drive it out of the galaxies. The results suggest that the Perseus Cluster is probably not unique, and that iron, along with other heavy elements, is evenly spread throughout all massive galaxies. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Herb Kane, born 1916, died 1997 at the age of 80. He was a San Francisco journalist whose daily column of local goings-on and insider gossip, social and political happenings, painful puns and offbeat anecdotes, called a continuous love letter to San Francisco, appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle for almost 60 years and made him a household name throughout the San Francisco Bay Area. The secret of Kane's success is his outstanding ability to take a wisp of fog, a chance phrase overheard in an elevator, a happy child on a cable car, a family in distress, and give each circumstance the magic touch that makes a reader an understanding eyewitness of the day's happenings. A special Pulitzer Prize called him the voice and conscience of San Francisco. And now for the quote from Herb Kane. The trouble with born-again Christians is that they are an even bigger pain the second time around.
Are you ready, Greece?